getting you home. Cambridge 105 Radio.
Julian Huppert was MP for Cambridge from 2010 to 2015. He stood again for Parliament in this year's election. At the weekend, Dr. Huppert announced he'd chosen not to seek a new nomination from the Lib Dems. Julian, welcome once again to Cambridge 105 Radio.
Good to be with you again, Julian.
Thanks very much for coming in, of course. So, when did you make the decision?
I'd actually made it some time ago.
So just after the most recent election?
It was frustrating not to win. It was a very strange election, a whole lot of ways, and changed a lot during the time. But I felt it was time to do other things. I'd had the amazing privilege of representing my hometown for 5 years, and before that, as 8 years as a councillor, which was amazing. It's a privilege a lot of people never get to have, and I'm really proud of much of the stuff that I managed to get done, but you know, enough's enough.
Mm. You're not tempted back at all by another contest with Mr. Zeichner and the opportunity to help increase the Lib Dem numbers in the Commons?
It was never for me about being an MP. It was about getting stuff done. And it was amazing to be able to get stuff done. You know, to me, that's a test. Some people go into politics because they want to be something. They want to have those letters after their name, sit on those benches, whatever it is. For me, it was about the changes that one could get done. So there's lots of stuff that I managed to do, which I'd been really pleased with. If you'd said when I was 17 you could get this done, you know, things like I co-sponsored legislation to put more money into international development aid. You know, that was something I campaigned on when I was 17. I'd been delighted to know that I could get that done. So it was never about being an MP, getting the numbers up. It was about getting things done. And I'm going to have to try and find other ways to do that.
Did you enjoy it?
You know, I never.
And
really
separating out the politics and what must be, you know, damned hard work at times.
Well, so I mean, actually, the damn hard work bit is pretty accurate. It's one of these funny things. People talk about MPs as being pretty lazy, and you can be lazy as an MP, and some are, and others aren't. And those of us who wanted to make a difference, to change laws, to get new things to happen, it's the hardest I've ever worked in my life. It was absolutely flat out and utterly exhausting. And some of it was fantastic. When you actually get a change, and those moments where you persuade the government to do something, you help a constituent find somewhere to live, reunite their family, when you get things done, is just fantastic. Mm.
And you say some MPs are lazy, some not. I guess this goes across the board, whatever party, and maybe whatever intake, or is there, would you say, a change? Because there's often a criticism of MPs and politicians in general coming in that they've done nothing other than be a politician before they arrive. And I wonder if that changes the character to, say, somebody at the other end of the scale, like Dennis Skinner, to pick somebody from the Labour benches.
So it's an interesting question. And part of the thing is that often if you don't know what you're looking for, you don't know who's actually putting the work in, who just shows up and shouts a bit. So I don't know is the answer. There's definitely an issue that more and more there are people who are MPs who've never done anything outside that sort of world, who've only ever known the think tank world. They were researchers to an MP, they were special advisors, they've never done anything else. You then have quite a lot who've just done media and PR backgrounds. And I think that's a change, that we're seeing fewer people who are lawyers, fewer people who are manual workers, fewer people who are scientists. You know, all of these are quite rare and lots more. And I think that does make a difference, because if your entire life has been in doing politics, you know, whatever form it might be, what you're trying to achieve is to look good rather than to actually make things happen. You know, if an engineer designs a bridge, the test is whether it falls down, not whether you can do a really glossy picture about it. Whereas if you're doing the PR, it might fall down, but you have that lovely photo to start with.
Yeah, and do you think it's maybe that sort of thing which, shall we say, lets in a Trump? I'm not trying not to make any political judgments here. That's always difficult.
Who knows what your listeners support via Trump
precisely.
Or not.
I like to think they're both left and right, centre and out of centre.
Right, anyway.
But the kind of character that he is, the person who claims at least that, you know, I'm trying to sweep away all of this, regardless of what other interests they may have themselves, whoever that politician is.
Yeah, I think there's a trivialisation that comes with it, that a lot of the media PR stuff, you know, there are some very good people in media and PR, but sometimes it boils down to saying, can we capture this whole two thing in three words? And actually, almost nothing in politics is as clear as here's the three-word simple answer. It's generally more complicated. It's generally more nuanced. And Trump is very much doesn't care about that. You know, who knew healthcare could be so tricky? It turns out it's actually quite hard to do an entire healthcare system. And I think there is a problem that we're seeing that lack of nuance here. And it comes out both in the idea that there are simple policies which would just will magically fix things, and also that dynamic which we're seeing far too much, this idea that my side, my party is good and the other ones are evil.
Yeah, good old-fashioned Yabu politics, to a certain extent.
I just think it's pathetic. You know, I worked over my time with Labour MPs, Tory MPs, Caroline Lucas from the Greens, many, many others. Because actually, while we don't agree on everything, we agree on some things. And actually, that, to me, is partly how you make things happen. And I went into politics, I said, to make things happen, not just to shout about how I didn't like them.
Mm-hmm. Is there something which you could say, yeah, this is my greatest achievement? I don't put it in too grand a terms. I'm sure you wouldn't want to do so yourself. But if you look back on the time you spent in Parliament, or maybe actually as a local councillor in Cambridge, thinking, yeah, I did that. I set that on the way.
So it's hard to come up with something, because there were lots and lots of different things. You know, I could talk about Cambridge North, I could talk about cycling, I could talk about the role I played with same-sex marriage, killing the Snoopers Charter. The things that in some ways give me the most immediate satisfaction are actually the individual constituents. You know, I've had a few, when I announced that I wasn't standing again, who got in touch to remind me of things that I'd done, and it's... that was in some ways quite touching. But there are lots of things where I can go and say, you know, that's different. That happened or didn't happen in some cases, you know, and I'm pleased with that.
And what happens now for the Lib Dems in Cambridge? What's the process that they have to go through? And so what sort of timescale? Because goodness knows when the election might be.
I don't think there'll be an election this year, famous last words. I think partly because of the rules about funding.
You think the elastic fixed-term Parliament Act might not come in yet?
Actually, it's because there are constraints on how much you're allowed to spend in a particular year. And the Tories and Labour have already spent the vast majority of the limit.
So
if there was another election, they couldn't spend money, which I think means that it won't happen. But we've advertised for a candidate. I think it'll be a very strong field. I already know some of the people who are applying.
Because I noticed that the most recent election, there were quite a few Lib Dem Cambridge City and I think some county councillors, often female, who were dispatched, shall we say, to the outlying neighbouring constituencies.
There are lots of very, very good people who are already in Cambridge or have strong connections with Cambridge. I'm not going to name names because I'm going to stay very carefully neutral. But all the people I know of so far who said they're going to stand for the selection are extremely good. I look forward to working with whoever it is.
And your successor, whoever it is, do they get to fight within the same constituency boundaries as you did? Or do you think that's going to be hovering around for some time to come?
Who knows? I mean, I know
there's a consultation. I'd even heard an advert on the rival radio station for it the other day.
The whole thing's a bit of a farce, partly because people seem to only see it through party political benefit. You know, to me, the right size boundary has to include Queen Edith's. You know, it's really bizarre that whole area, you know, Queen Edith's isn't part of Cambridge City. It thinks it's Cambridge City. It should be. I think, you know, the Science Park should be Cambridge because, again, if you ask people where they thought the boundaries were, they'd think Addenbrookes was Cambridge and they'd think the Science Park was Cambridge and they wouldn't think the villages were. That seems like a sensible way of doing it. But I think the problem is that game will be played out based on party political advantage, not on what actually makes sense for the boundaries.
And when you get home tonight, presumably on your bicycle, I didn't check to see if you came on your bicycle
today,
but you normally do. If the phone rings and Vince Cable's on the other end and he says, I've got some jobs for you to do, what would your response be?
I think it depends what they are. You know, I'm still very much a Lib Dem. I'm still passionate about the same things I've always been passionate about. Civil liberties, about the environment, about being an internationalist, about social justice. You know, those same things that I went into politics for, I still care about. And all the things I've been campaigning on, I campaigned on them because I cared about them. So I'll keep doing that. You know, it depends what job it is. But
I House of Lords, you never know. I guess he doesn't have too many seats to offer given the results.
who knows? And, I still hope we'll fix the House of Lords sometime. that's not going to happen in the next year, I fear. I've got jobs at the moment. I'm not, you know, desperately looking for employment.
I was going to ask, the 9-to-5, that's a very loose connotation these days.
Very much so.
What are you doing?
So my day job is running a new centre at Jesus College, Cambridge. So the idea is to try to bring people together to think about the big issues, to actually use some of the academic pieces that we have around the university and Jesus College in particular to really make a difference and to interact with society. So this Thursday, for example, we have an event for the Cambridge Festival of Ideas looking at education and social mobility. you know, an issue which is of huge relevance to people. I mean, follow us at Intel Forum. We'll be live streaming the whole discussion. So if you're interested in education, social mobility, come along to that. I'm doing a thing tomorrow about inequality in general and what do we do about it. So there's lots of stuff. That's my sort of main job. It's 4 days a week there. And then I do a few other things within the NHS and a few other things sort of locally and nationally.
Okay, well, look, always good to see you. I hope that you don't stay away. And
I'm not vanishing.
We managed to see you before we obviously invite you in to talk about the next election or something for some reason. Dr. Julian Hubbard, as always. Thanks very much for joining
us. Lovely to be with you.